time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We are here. We are back again. Stay at home. Season 7. I don't know where we at as far as this goes. We have been indoors for a long time.
Yeah, man.
It is now July. Mm-hmm. Been in the house since March. Word. But we're still in the conversation.
No doubt. Yeah, man. I think I'm starting to feel that in the house shit.
Oh, now you start finally? What happened?
I mean, not a finally. You know, it comes and goes, but you know what I'm saying? Like, now it's kind of like, God damn. Ain't no, like, in March, it'll be like, by June, we'll be good. You know what I'm saying?
Then right.
By May, you know what I'm saying? Things should be open up by July. Should be back to normal.
Right.
This shit ain't looking like normal. No time close. No time soon.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we might as well just wrap 2020. I think it's over.
2020.
That shit is over.
Yeah, it's about a wrap on 2020 as far as being regular.
Yeah. It is. Woo. That shit getting so crazy. Fucking Keisha Lance Bottoms got the COVID.
You know? Yeah, man.
That was wild. That's a plot twist.
I mean, you know. Anybody could get it.
Right, because she was definitely stay your ass in the house. She was the leader of that movement in the government. And that was weird. She wound up getting it. Damn. You know, it's so funny. I've been seeing a bunch of, it's funny that it must be a second wave, or maybe not a second wave, just this first wave is just cresting like a motherfucker, but I've been seeing a whole lot of, I got COVID and these are my symptoms, YouTube vlogs, like even more than I saw in March. Like I'm seeing it hit a lot of younger people, I guess, you know what I mean? Like the influencers or the people that do a lot of vlogging, you know, they have to do the real somber YouTube. Hey guys, you know, I haven't been vlogging because I didn't really feel like I had much to vlog about. You know, I didn't know what things were going to be like. And guys, I'm just happy to be here. But, I came down with coronavirus and I'm going to tell you how. And they go through it. I would say it's hilarious, but it is just, it's interesting. It is interesting how, you know, the cultural just how the wheel of culture goes. You know what I'm saying? Like how everything is processed through this wheel of culture. You know what I mean? All these phenomenons are filtered through the wheel of culture of society and how they impact and how they're reported upon, how it affects, how it's redistributed, it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting. So
now, I haven't seen that, but I guess, you know, once the content creator started catching it, you know, it's only a matter of time before it turns into content.
You know? Yeah. Yep, exactly.
So
you're seeing it out there. I'm seeing a lot more of them. Or maybe like you, I got caught up in a rabbit hole in the algorithm.
You start looking for shit.
Yeah, either that or I bought a COVID algorithm. They're like, have you seen this one since you are into this old fucking COVID shit?
Right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But anyway, man. Yeah, man. How you doing, bro? What's going on with you, man?
I'm laissez-faire, you know.
All right. All right.
I'm cool. I'm here. You know what I'm saying? I'm up. Did my work today and shit, but you know what I'm saying? Just felt like, blah. It's like one of them days where in real life, nigga would have went outside and did some outside shit, for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga would have went and posted up somewhere, went and had lunch with myself. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, just took an outing, you know what I'm saying? Take this thing on a field trip. But ain't no field trip, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no destinations, you know what I'm saying? And... Mm. you could go to an outdoor restaurant and chill, but then, you, I mean, I really don't feel, you know what I mean? I ain't ready to let my food be in the COVID air. You know what I'm saying?
Right, just right, blowing
up 6 feet, even 6 feet outside, you know what I'm saying? It's always weird when, you know, the germs is in the air. You know, I don't want them to land on my chicken.
Yeah, that's not a, that's not what you want. That's not the lemon pepper you need.
Nah, so, so you know, you could, I could do that, but I'm just not ready to do that. So,
right,
it was just in the house, and then just another groundhog day of what the fuck day is it? What time is it? Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying. No real routine. It's just some fucking shit.
The redundance is hitting you, huh?
Yeah, today it is. You know what I'm saying? I shake it off, but today it's just like, what the fuck? It's nothing it's exciting. Tough. You know?
Yeah. What do you typically do when the redundance hits you? Because I'm sure this isn't the first time. What's some of your go-tos over what? These 4 months?
Oh, redundant hit within this type of situation?
Yeah, when you start feeling restless and, you know, you can't really go out, catch a lunch meeting nowhere, you got to figure something out to kind of quell the restlessness.
Like, sometimes, you know what I mean, if it's daytime and a regular day, I might call some friends, you know what I'm saying? Okay. You know, everybody need to talk, you know what I mean? So, you know, you call some friends and talk through some shit and blah, 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 you feel better. You know what I'm saying? Call somebody else. They might need some counseling and shit. You run through that. You know what I'm saying? Help somebody out. Woo, woo. And
right.
So, you know, just reaching out. The reach out has been a go-to. But then what happens when you need somebody to reach out to you and you ain't feeling like reaching out? You know what I'm saying? That's today. Right. It's like, you know, I don't feel like reaching out, but somebody probably should reach out to me. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, wait on that horn. Like,
check
yo, come
on your
now.
Strong friend today.
Right. Okay. Oh, man. Damn.
So, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like one of them kind of days.
I can dig it. I hear that, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I'm glad we're having this conversation. It's good to, you know. Y'all reach out to Mr. Muhammad, man. See how he doing.
Ah.
Nah, man. That's what they got to do. See
this
who,
wasn't
see
a,
what the
it wasn't
do.
Like an overcall to say, you know what I'm saying? But it's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't have thought of that, you know what I'm saying? But now that I'm thinking of it, it's like, yeah, shit, it would have been cool if somebody had hit me today and took my mind off where it was at. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
But
no, I hear that.
It's cool. And I got people that hit me and check on me. I ain't saying that they don't. You know, it's just today I was just in a blah, blah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Nah. That shit is all. It happens. It definitely happens. Especially when the days start to feel like the same day over and over and over. And it's like, well, what did I do? You know what I mean? Did I do anything? What you do today? Ah, shit. I did I guess the same shit I did yesterday.
What that shit cool till your wife asks you. She been working from home and got a whole schedule of shit she doing all day. Boop, 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 boop. Got the call over here. Got that. Boop, boop, boop. Then come down there where you at. So what did you do today?
Oh man. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't
my
do
business.
That. Yeah. I didn't check no email.
Staying out of yours.
I actually checked a little bit of email today. That sounds so trivial. You know, I did check a little email because I don't check my email all the time. I'm one of these people with like thousands of. I check what I need to read, but you know, I don't trim the fat. I don't get rid of all of the junk mail and all of the other shit. So I wound up with like thousands of unopened emails, and it's ridiculous. But I checked that shit today, but that wasn't what I really wanted to say. We were talking about, you know, what you're doing, what you do. Said you would have been cool if you had got a phone call. You know,
I don't know if that would have helped or not. I'm just saying
it's all right, man. Don't take it back.
No,
man.
I'm not taking it back. I'm just saying that's one of the things that probably could have just changed my trajectory. You know what I'm saying?
Got you out of there.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know what I'm saying, I was in a deep spiral and no shit like that. It's just like just feeling like, okay, uninspired. Right. You know what I mean? I finished, right. I changed, you know, I fixed some shit on a video for a client. You know what I'm saying? I replied to a couple of emails. I sent a, you know, a good customer service type of email. You know what I mean? And, you know, it was cool, whatever. But that was that. Then it was like, I had been working on this experimental video that that I, you know, I'm at a crossroads with. You know what I'm saying? I'm not liking where it's at, but I know it could go somewhere further, but I don't have necessarily the footage right in front of me to do it. So I'm at a standstill with that, trying to figure out what I want to do with that. So it wasn't nothing creative I wanted to jump into, you know what I mean? So it was kind of like, all right, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
What else is good? Then my, you know, my kids is done with school, so they more active around the house sometimes. And then, you know, my son came through. I'm working on the video or whatever. And he, I guess when I was working on it the first time, I'm just making corrections now. When I was working on it the first time, he was trying to make some suggestions with the music. And I was like, okay, whatever. And then so he passed by today. I think the drums might be a little too high on that. I'm like, man, if you don't get your motherfucking ass on, this shit is done. I'm paid. Listen, ain't nothing else changing on this motherfucker after this. Nah, shit.
Hilarious.
Nah.
young quality control out there.
This ain't no motherfucking music video, nigga. This is some shit, man. This is corporate video.
But I bet you listen to them drums a little differently though. You're like, man, wait a minute, do these drums need to be tweaked? I need to tweak these drums.
I pressed export and that shit was out the door. Hilarious. I don't be taking that shit too personal like that. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, I know that in that business, the service side of my business, you know, you're executing someone else's vision, not your own. You know what I mean?
Right.
And a lot of the times when I'm thinking about any project, whether it's music and shit like that, I'm thinking with, I might think creatively first, but then first point one, I'm thinking about, okay, will the client, is this the personality of the client? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Will this fly in this space? You know what I'm saying? Then you might try some shit. And I actually did try it a little edgier when I sent it the first time. And it was like, well, you know, the music is a little, you know, woo-woo, you know what I'm saying? Then I guess they had a 16-year-old walking by them and with some suggestions and said that the music, the first music that I used was creepy. You know what I'm saying?
Not,
like, it's just like dark. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But
right.
It wasn't creepy to me. It was dark.
It's never.
It was dark because I wanted the words to stand out on top of the music. I didn't even want people to pay attention to the music at all. So it was just kind of like a dull drone sound. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just like a dull sound. But in a way that'll make you like, what the fuck are they talking about? You know what I'm saying? So, of course, okay, that didn't fly. I ain't taking no kind of way. I don't give a fuck. I changed it to some more corporate-y, you know what I'm saying, feeling, you know, shit. You know what I'm saying? That people usually be like, yeah, that's it right there.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? I found a good piece of that. And they was like, yeah, that's it right there. And then it worked. Yeah. And then when he was passing by saying the drums, I was like, listen, man, they are, because they, what they're doing is they're raising money to help sponsor kids start savings programs, savings accounts and shit like that. So it's a brand called Goal Setter, and it's kind of like a PayPal or Cash App for kids, well, for families, where your kid can set savings goals and you can send them money and they could, it'll automatically go to their savings goals and then to what other things they wanted to go to. So it's a great thing, and they raising money and shit, and you know, one of the big sponsors they were targeting actually came in. So I'm like, listen, man, the music works, man. They already got the sponsor in, man. We leaving this music alone, because at the end of the day, that's all it's for, man. It ain't about your, you know, it ain't about my subjective, you know, artistry of, oh, that was cool. You know what I'm saying? You got to do that on your own shit.
Right. Goal setter. Goal setter or goal setting?
Goal setter.
That sounds cool.
I think it's .com. Right.
I'm all about a savings goal. That's always a good look. Yeah. Always something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Is that the experimental video or no?
No, this is something they're using. They actually.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah,
okay.
This is out in the world. The experimental video is something I'm doing on my own, which is definitely going to be crazy to other people. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be creepy or no shit like that. It's just going to be more ambient than, you know, your regular old, you know, I'm just pushing this through so you could really be entertained. I'm just throwing some ideas out there.
That's what's up. Yeah. Down to see that shit. Speaking of tweaking drums and uncreeping out soundscapes, I need a mixing board on my motherfucking air conditioner. This shit is killing me, nigga. It's either it's too cold or it's too hot. Like, I hate this shit. This is the part of the season where you get that first summer cold. You know what I mean? You get that summer cold, and now you're really nervous because you hope it's just a summer cold. Hope it ain't the big, you know, the big sick. But, yeah, man.
So, wait a minute. So, you're saying that you can't taper off the temperature? You can't turn it down a little bit? You can't put it on medium?
I don't think it got a medium. It has a, like, and I think, I guess this one has a medium. Let me see how I do a medium on this one. Maybe this has a medium and shit. I don't know.
You took us all the way to the air conditioner.
No, I mean, I'm right next to the shit, though. That's why the shit was like that. But my bad. This is what it is now. We're just incorporating podcasts into our everyday living. Like, let me go ahead and look at this damn thermostat before we figure this damn transmission.
But, I mean, for the listeners, you know what I'm saying, most New York places don't have central air, so it's a lot of older buildings, so it's a lot of window units, you know what I'm saying?
Room
by room, either in the window or, you know, the portable joints, things of that nature.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying, it is a little bit different with your quality, your quality control as far as your temperature. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So, it's not a tone. It's not a consistent tone. Right. Nah, it's a lot of highs and lows.
But I'm from Miami, and I go for too cold than anything. You know, I'd rather be too cold than anything. You can always bundle up, but too hot, boy.
Too hot, boy.
You can't go to sleep, man. You and that bitch having a fucking attack. You know what I'm saying?
They both could wake you up. Yeah, they both could wake you up. A little too crisp, but have you looking crazy too? Like, yo, what the fuck? Am I supposed to be? Am I indoors? Why do I feel like I'm not indoors?
Man, yeah, please. Man. Like down in Miami, they say the dude is piping. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I got my dude piping. That means it's all the way full tilt to where it's called causing condensation on the window. That's why they call it dew. AC is called the dew.
Oh, my dew. Oh, they call it the dew. That's the funny. Dew, that's how you know your shit is cracking.
Yeah, my shit is piping, boy. The dew is pipe. You see a car pass by, old school car with the windows fogged up right there on the side where the vent at. Like, ooh, that nigga got his dew piping in that bitch.
That's funny.
Because that could be a casualty of having an old school car. If your dew ain't right, boy, you're fucked up. Cause it's already too much engine and shit. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no whole lot of insulation from the heat. So you be hot in the oven. So you got to get your dew right. Once your dew right, then you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You fix your dew first before your engine and your dew. Before you paint any of that shit.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense down there. Piping sound like it would be hot, though. That's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, piping hot. Yeah, crazy.
It's just a flip on piping.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Ain't gonna no need to be piping hot down there.
Nah, that's just the default. Shit hot than a motherfucker, man. What was I gonna say, though? What we talking about? I was talking to somebody and they were asking, You know, so how do you tell time, or what does time feel any different in the quarantine?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I said, yeah, I think it's like the time is like jazz right now. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know how jazz just kind of go with the flow, do whatever the fuck it want to do. At some point, it could speed up. Then it could just slow down. It could be a real, like, plotting piano, or it could be a real high, you know, saxophone or some shit like that. That's how time feel like, you know. I was saying, you know, like, for instance, today, you know what time we take the pod, it take forever to get to pod time. But then by the it take forever. I mean, like, yo, maybe we should make pod time earlier just because. But it's like, nah, fuck it. Let's keep it how it is. But that shit, I mean, it be like, nigga, is it the same day? And then as soon as the pod is done, you turn around, that shit 3 a.m. You like, yo, what the fuck? What happened to the time? Or
yeah,
I find myself telling time through shows. Like this weekend, I binged The Last OG, right? I had been, you know, I've been meaning to fuck with it for a minute. I'd seen maybe the first two episodes when it first came out, but I was never, you know, I didn't jump on it. And since they added it to Netflix, I had it in my queue for a minute. I was like, yeah, I'm going to fuck with it soon, you know. And I must have finished some type of show, you know what I mean? So I had some shit to add, because I can't remember what I finished just recently. But I guess Insecure got finished and some other shit got finished. But I went to Last OG and I realized them shits is like, the episodes are 20 minutes. That's it.
Right.
Just a little 20-minute piece. I was like, yeah, I get the shit. I put two of them down real fast. You know what I mean? It was just like, that's how I started looking at it. They were like denominations. Like, all right, bet. I can do about three pieces of The Last OG. And then that'll take me to this point.
Right.
But, yeah, I liked it, man. I liked that show a lot. It got a lot of heart. I think it's well casted. Some good performances on there. It tells some interesting stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's what network is that on?
It was on TBS.
Okay.
And the reason, and I think that's probably why I didn't do, you know, I don't think it did bad, actually. So let me not even say that. But I know I used to just see everybody from The Last OG, like, at the upfronts, because, you know, that's a Turner network. Right. So you would see Tracy, and you see certain, you know, you see Tiffany Haddish, you know what I mean? So, like, it was good to finally watch the show. And yeah, the first two seasons are on there, so I watched both of them shits, and it was a good time.
Nah, yeah. That's what's up.
Yeah, man, that's what I did. That's what I've been doing. I've been doing shit like that with my dad. Did that. I've been doing a lot of trying to, like, what's the word? Like, just try to, I guess, curate, for lack of a better word, all my content, you know what I mean? Like, I got...
Mm-hmm. What you mean? Keep it copacetic, the type of content you watching?
Well, not even... No, I'm talking about my own shit. Like,
Right.
I went through, like, my drives and shit like that, and I'm like, you know, I put all of the... You know, every time I go on stage, damn near every time I go on stage, I tape myself. So I have, like, you know, like, at least an audio record of when I was on stage, you know what I'm saying? And oftentimes I don't not only tape myself, but I'll videotape myself too. So, you know, like, I got a shit ton of them shit. So I've been like, you know, because the goal is, ideally, you tape yourself. Ideally, if you, like, really being diligent and, you know, you being, you know, front row teacher's pet comedian, you'll go home, listen to your set from that night, you know what I mean? Maybe transcribe it or take notes, see where you got last, where you didn't get last, what you could add to, blah, blah, blah. And I'm all right about that. I'm pretty good about that. More often than not, I'll listen to it, at least listen to it through. I might not transcribe it. That's a lot, you know what I mean? But I could kind of pick up on shit. But oftentimes, if, like, you're just doing a ton of shows, them shits just mount up. You know what I mean? Like, you mount up. Or even if you're doing, like, a weekend, where you're doing 6 to 7 shows a weekend, and those are all hour shows. That's 6 or 7 hours of shit to listen back to, and then it's your own shit. You know what I mean? And it could be a whack night. It could be a night where you knew you took a slow one, and you don't want to hear that shit because you lived that shit. But you kind of want to see where it went bad or how it went bad. So, you know, I've been doing a lot of that, putting that shit, archiving all of that shit together, pulling out little bits. Goal was, video-wise, you know, I'm clipping up little shit, like just stuff like that. But overall, listening and watching the material to see what the themes are. You know what I mean? There's a lot of themes in my shit. That I, you know, there's certain things I've been talking about for years and years and years. You know what I mean? It's just, okay, that's a theme you like to talk about. You love death. You know what I'm saying? Or you love, like, you really do. You know what I'm saying? So you talk about that shit a lot, or, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? So that's kind of cool. So I've been doing that. And then that's probably been the project that's taking the most priority. You know, I got a little side shit. I'm trying to start learning these video editing programs. You know what I mean? Like, just trying to figure those out slowly with that. What else? I thought about, I might make a compilation if I find it, but I find myself, you know, I'm by myself, so I find myself laughing and clapping loudly at shit, like just at anything. Like if it's some funny shit, I laugh like I want the other motherfucker in the other room to hear the shit.
You on that Def Comedy Jam laughing?
Hell yeah, man! Oh, fall out, man. The chair. Word, it's ridiculous.
Just run off in your own apartment. Dolo.
Mm-hmm. You heard that shit? Did you hear that shit? Who? You? Yeah, I heard it. Anyway. But man, so I've been doing that shit.
Nah, though, I've been going through my archives as well. That's where this experimental piece is coming from.
Okay.
But I think I've realized that I can't make it what I want to make it unless I pull other sources of content as well. So I'm going to have to pull from the world and included with some of the shit that I have, because I can't really make it what I want to make it by itself. So, I'm a tribe, man. And I got inspired because I never had a music. I never thought about the music for it. You know what I mean? And then I thought about this mixtape that I heard. I went to Cleveland like in 90. It was like 97, like the end of 97, or the end of 96, actually. Was it end of 96? Wow. Yeah, end of 96. Uh-huh. No, it was end of 97, actually. And so my cousin, you know, took me, we went to this record store, you know what I'm saying? And he was like, yo, you need to get these mixtapes right here. But I'm like, okay, bro, I never heard them. Then I bought them, and we got in the car, we was listening to the shits. And they was like, you know what I'm saying, they was like blend tapes, kind of like mashup tapes, really. It wasn't even just blends. It was like straight up creating whole new soundscapes with songs. And and it was smoking the whole time. So I was like, you know what I'm saying? I was just not just in a regular mind state. I was just floating all the way through this whole trip. And the fucking mixtape was just so banging. I'm like, yo, this shit is fucking crazy. It's like just insane how they make the music float. The way it float, especially when you don't smoke some trees.
Shit was like a score.
Yeah, so I'm like, damn, this is crazy. And then so the other day, you know what I'm saying, I was sitting back and I was thinking about that shit. I was like, yo, I wonder if they got some of this shit up. And then I pulled it up, and they had a couple of other joints. There's some DJs out of Cleveland called Rad and Quick. Old school, I guess, you know what I'm saying? It's like the 90s, so, but they had some up on YouTube, and I press play on them. The one that I had was called Armed and Dangerous. They only had half of that one up. They only had like 30 minutes of that one. But then they had a couple of other ones.
The one from 97 was Armed and Dangerous?
Yeah, the one that I got. You know what I'm saying? It was okay. I listened to another one from 97. I guess they was going berserk in 97. I guess they was just putting out a lot of shit. Because like the three that was up, they were all from 97. But They only had half of the one that I had.
What's the name? Rad and who?
Rad and Quick. R-A-D okay. and Quick.
And, that's two people?
Yes, yeah, two people. Two different DJs. Okay. So I guess they worked together, put it together to build this shit out. But the crazy part, like the intro on the one that I had never heard, I'm like, yo, I didn't even make it past the fucking intro. I'm like, yo, this the intro is fucking crazy. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's just smooth. It's just like it's just floating through. It's not like super intense, but it's not super laid back. It's just right. It's right in the pocket. I'm like, yeah, I'm about to use this shit. So I'm using that as the sound bed, just that intro to their tape as the sound bed to this experimental video that I'm fucking with. So
okay.
I think it's a good mix. I just need to find the rest of the content that I need to throw in there.
That's fire. Let me ask you this. Now, Rad and Quick, the music that you're using, do they do something to the music kind of like DJ Screw? Is it original music or is it just like some like Cleveland shit? Or
it's
music regular, everybody like, heard?
That's music everybody heard for the most part. But they'll put, and then, you know, you remember when I did that mixtape 21 Jump Street?
Yeah.
So it was based off of their style. You know what I'm saying? The way they do it is they take a song. So they might have a beat that they playing. Then they bring in another acapella on top of that beat. And then they might bring in just some different break beats in between to kind of bridge it. And then you got all these. Then you got just floating like hip hop quotables that you know what I'm saying? It's just like shit you've heard in hip hop all these years just coming in and out. So it's like motherfucker might be like, I know you're gonna dig this, and then bring the beat in. Be like, damn, I remember that. I know you're gonna dig this.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Or just like little quotables from different rappers. You know what I'm saying? You know how DJs make the rappers say what they wanted to say. So it's like, I guess they're saying that I'm the best, so that they'll pull in a rapper's quote that's like, nigga, I'm the best. So they just bring in little shit like that from different songs from various eras of hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But it's all based over some 97 hip hop. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's kind of like, it's a collage. It's a collage of the hip hop experience. And
it just
makes your mind move about in these different spaces. And it's not about the actual song anymore. It's about the experience that you're going through. And I thought that was amazing. You know what I'm saying? The way that they put it together. So in 2001, I think it was, we wanted to try the same thing. So I got with this cat DJ Do It and tried the same thing. But I couldn't do what they was doing. So I had to do it in a different way. And I just made mine more... it was a little more linear than theirs, where it played out. Like, say, I might play out a sequence longer than they would. You know what I'm saying? Like, they might come in, like, it might just be a beat right here. Then they bring in one verse from over here. And then they'll be on to the next shit. Because I think theirs was still more about playing the music that was about that time. With mine, it was just about collaging all of the music of the experience, including some new songs, but some break beats, and then mixing shit up. Like at the time, what we was doing was this was before the South had taken over. You know what I'm saying? The South was just on Who You With, Get Crunk, Who You With. It was a wave of it coming, but it hadn't taken over. So what we was doing was putting like some New York over top some crunk beats. You know what I'm saying? So we like put Beanie Siegel over top a crunk beat, and then bring in Andre 3000 and shit. You know what I'm saying? And then bring in a James Brown break beat to take you to the next shit. So it was a little different, but I got the idea from fucking with that Rad and Quick tape.
Shout out to Rad and Quick. I'm gonna Google them and see what they all about. Yeah, that's dope. A good mixtape, good mix collab. You know who used to be good with that shit too, back in the day? Green Lantern. Green Lantern used to do the 1200 Squad mixtapes. When the 1200 Squad used to have when what was it? Cornerstone used to put out the 1200 Squad mixtape like once a month.
Right.
And it, I guess it was, you know, and it was an industry tape, a record pool tape, I guess. You know, it wasn't like a underground DJ or in the streets DJ helm tape, even though they tapped DJs that were, you know, maybe mixtape DJs, maybe radio DJs, club DJs, but, you know, they showcased them. But damn near, and I used to have almost all of them shits when they first started. And I fucking lost a lot of them. But I remember they would be like an event. Every month when it came out, it was like, you were like, yo, who got the 1200 Squad tape this time? And damn near every time that Green Lantern got it, he destroyed that shit. He would do like these little intros before he played the records just to kind of set the tone. You know, his whole shit was the evil genius. You know what I mean? And he would take just like you're saying, like vocal snippets from rap and shit like that. But he would take shit from cartoons. And he remember there was a big thing when the two ways were popping.
Right.
He would break the beat down just to the two way beat and had a shit ride. And like he used to do some fire. Like, you know, just thinking of certain cats that did that type of shit, that type of work. I often think, you know, in that same thing, I think, you know, think about Public Enemy, think about Beastie Boys, think about De La, like, you know what I mean? Like their whole kind of their audio presentation was to your like a collage, and it was just like a lot of different culture that just it may be from all different types of angles, but it's all the same vibe. And when it is thrown together, the shit complement. Yeah, that's
Bomb
that's
Squad. Dope. Even Dr. Dre, from like the NWA Chronic. A little bit in the Chronic, but definitely during the NWA era, his shit was collaged up. You know what I'm saying? He bringing in 4 or 5 different beats. You know what I'm saying? It just takes you in a lot of different places at once. And, you know, I come to realize that I enjoy that kind of shit. Like, that's essential to, like, you know what I'm saying? When I didn't pay attention to it when I started doing the collage type of art. But, like... Right. Even the when we did a TV show in college, that's how our shit felt. It was just a whole bunch of shit. You know what I'm saying? Just mixed in. Just, you know, we at this school, but we interviewing this person. And then we at this party, and then the cars riding by. And we would have a mix. We would do this mix, and it was from DJ Killer Groove, this cat Killer Groove, who used to do, like, the pillow-based shit. So, like, the blend, the slow jams with the fast, with the bass beats. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So, he was doing the same kind of shit, but with some down south shit and slow jams. And we'll use those music beds as, we'll use those as music beds in the show and just put a bunch of just random ass shit that was going on top of it. So, I guess ain't shit changed, really. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about it like that, but now that we talking. It's kind of like, shit, that's always been how a nigga move, how a nigga enjoy that music experience.
Yeah. Yeah, nah, it's ill. It's ill. It's kind of, I think I'm the same way. You know what I mean? I think I'm the same way. I think I could even track it to when I was a kid. I used to have this type of toy, like this record player. That was a record player and it was a projector at the same time. So, like,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, just off the rip, like, you're already putting the two together. Audio and video is together from the door. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of look at it. Like, I always like, and even if it ain't even a, no video element, I've always liked the theater of the mind. You know, like, when you listen to those, you listen to, old radio shit that they telling these stories and they got, you know, different actors doing different things in different parts, shit like that. I remember, like, that's how I've always liked skits on albums. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of my favorite things. I feel like there's not enough of that in rap as much as it used to be. I think there could be more of that. But, like, just those quick little segments, you know, where, like, you kind of get a picture of these people's personality. Like, I always like the De La Soul is Dead, De La Soul album. De La Soul is Dead. That's like one of my favorite rap albums. And they got a skit on there called Biddy's in the BK Lounge, which is half song, half sketch. That shit is classic, man. Like, man, Prince Paul used to put some shit together. He did he did albums like that. He did what was it called? Prince of Thieves. It was like an audio album. Still everybody rapping and shit, but like the rappers would be characters in the shit. You know what I mean? Everlast would be Officer O'Malley, and you know what I mean? Like it would them shits would be crazy, and it would be a full on story, like a movie, damn near, and it was all orchestrated with just with music. Music and roles. Actually, I'm gonna go home. I'm fucking. That's a go home. Like I'm at the crib. like I got you, at the crib.
Like you ain't been at the crib since March.
Right. Word. Well, I'm about to check that shit out, man. Mining. I've been doing a lot of that too. Like just mining my own inspiration. Like I said before, I've been cultivating inspiration, but I've been mining it too. Like you know, like trying to tap into. Yo, what did I like back in the day? What did I think was super funny? Or what did I think was where'd I go get the information, you know, back when I was this age? Or how'd I stay in the know? Who was important to me at this time? You know what I'm saying? What was I reading? Shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting
to
go back in the dig in the crates, per se. I'm a crate digger anyway because I guess I'm a hoarder, not a nasty hoarder. I always gotta qualify that, but you know, because I've watched some hoarder shit and I'm like, oh hell no, I can't be these type of people. I damn near had an anxiety attack watching this one shit. There's a show on Netflix where they like real deal hoarders, and I mean they were just living on junk. They pets were dying in the house.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Because they forgot. Oh, yeah, the pet was underneath the thing. Damn right. True. That nigga dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to get another dog. Like, shit, like some wild shit. But, yeah, I say all that shit to say. I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. It's just kind of like, it's one of those things I do to kind of re-engage. To jumpstart creativity. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
And sometimes it's weird though, because sometimes I'm like, damn, I'm going back to the, it ain't but so many crates. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's not the first time I've dug in this crate. I might come across a different sample. You know what I mean? But it's always interesting.
But see, that's where you hit the limit for me, because now, I got crates that I can go to for inspiration. I could go online. I could read books. I could go magazines. That's why I go to the bookstore every Sunday. Well, used to before this shit. But really, though, it's outside. That's the real inspiration.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Man.
And that's where I was today. It's like I can't really be outside. Like I can't really gather no inspiration from outside, because outside ain't even really outside how it used to be. So, you know what I'm saying? So now that there's no outside, what do you do? You know what I mean? The only outside you got is fucking Twitter and Instagram and shit.
Right, the internet. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which is you know what I'm saying, just a facsimile.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? It's like you got to, all right, today I can't do that. So I had to fall back and do whatever else. You know what I mean? And then tonight, I'll probably be back in the crates. You know what I mean? Doing crate shit, or digging, mining the internet for inspiration, or just creating just making my own inspiration, manufacturing that shit myself. But, you know, outside is a big part of it. And being able to not just see what's going on outside, to be a part of what's going on outside, affect what's going on outside just by your presence, you know? Just to, even when it's fucked up, even when your black presence makes people feel uncomfortable, it's still something in that says, I'm here, motherfucker. And you know what I'm saying? And I was here, and you saw me here in this motherfucker. So that is some inspiration in that as well. You know what I mean? So you like to see where you stand next to your fellow humans. You know what I mean? And how you respond and how prepared you've got yourself ready for what the world is and how many things can you put in the world that other people will take back and be like, yeah, I saw this motherfucker today. You know what I'm saying? Or I heard this thing, or this motherfucker said this. You know what I'm saying? All that type shit is shit that keep somebody like me engaged.
For sure. Free outside. You know what I mean? Nah, as soon as word. We're going to say free outside till we saying it backwards. I always love that shit when the rappers say, yo, say free, yeah, yo, till free, yeah, yo, till we saying it backwards.
Like, to what?
Hey, till we go from free, yeah, yo, to yeah, yo, free. You know, that type of shit. That's the whole shit. Anyway, no, I hear you, man. I hear you. That is where the culture lives, outdoors. You know, and it's funny, even this little bit of latency period or whatever we're going through, where it's like we kind of phasing, we trying to make outside feel like outside, but it's not really where it is. And there's certain things that have to, you know, be modified and shit. Like, you know, it was kind of funny to walk past McDonald's and see people doing outside dining.
Right.
You know what I mean? On the corner with the McDonald's and shit. But, you know, that's what it's turning into. Speaking of outside, I was looking on Twitter. I don't know who started, but it was this thing where they were, like, saying the worst place in NYC to be.
Right.
You know. And, obviously, it ain't, like, the real perilous shit. It ain't, you know, it's not, you know, Rikers or, you know what I'm saying, somebody else's projects you don't know. You know what I mean? Like, nothing that's going to have you in super dumb harm, or it's like,
right,
you know, like, you're, you know, but casually fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, right.
So what'd you pick?
I was thinking about it. I'm still trying to think about it. Because I saw somebody say, I saw a few things that I would have picked. People say, I saw like certain train stations in the summer, you know what I mean? Like, that 34th Street station where you wait for the D train and you wait, like, you got to go way down them steps on the fucking, on that, that escalator. There's a different type of heat going on over there. Right. There's certain train stations that you always correlate with the local train. When you want to get home soon, but you like this, you know, there's certain stations where, nigga, it's going to happen when it happened. You know what I mean? Like, you know, certain train stations that make you surrender to their own will. Other right. train stations, you like, all right, I know I'm going to catch this fast. I'm probably not going to be here this long. That's why I love cutting. You know what I mean? That's why I always transfer here. And there's other right. places where you always looking down the shit, right. waiting for the shit to come. So, like,
I agree. You know. Somebody put Port Authority on that motherfucker. I agree.
Oh, man.
Port Authority is the, you know what I mean?
So dismal, man. Port Authority is a bad one. Port Authority, yeah.
I agree with that one. I was like, yeah, for sure.
It's so funny because when I was a kid, Port Authority to me was the shit. Like, in the summertime, it was the shit as a kid. In the summertime, I used to do this thing called Fresh Air Fund, where you mm-hmm. go to somebody else's crib for like 2 weeks. You go
right.
from, you know, you go out to some nice spot, like outside of the city to like upstate New York, like, but further upstate, like Ulster County, like way up there.
Right.
Places like Gloversville and shit like that.
Right.
Like, and, so I would do that shit, and I just remember one of the big things about the Port Authority is they had this big ass, it was like a mouse trap. I think they still have it there, but it's just, you can't, like, you might not even be able to focus on it because the whole shit is sad around. And maybe it was sad even back then, because, you know, that's
And what was it, a mouse trap?
It's not even a mousetrap. It was like there's a name for these shits. There's a name for them. And I just seen it. Somebody asked, there's a name for these things. And you see it a lot online. Oh, man. There's a
what does it look like? What is it? I mean, what are we talking about?
It's those things where it's like, damn, I got to find the name. I'm going to find the name of it real fast while we doing the shit. It's basically one of those things that you see these people doing it online a lot. Like, where it's like a domino effect type of thing. Where you put the ball might hit the domino, and it's not always mm-hmm. dominoes, but the ball might hit the domino, and then the right. domino goes to this. Like, there used to be a board game called Mousetrap.
Right, like, and there's a whole,
yeah, but there's an actual name for these shits. I forget what it's called. I'm going to try to find the shit while I got you on the thing. But anyway, they used to have, like, a real, like, life-size one of those shits. And when you were a kid, like, that shit was, like, you know, like, one of the most... It was like going to a fucking, you know, like a museum or something. Like, this shit was, it was like, wow. And it was in the city, you know what I mean? And you about to
get and you was about to go to bus. Fresh air.
Yeah, you about to do the whole thing. Yeah. That was, and it was like, summertime. It was a, emotionally fraught situation. You know what I'm saying? Because you ain't really want to leave. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though you getting sent away. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, it's camp and all of that, but you also getting sent away and shit. So you be like, you crying maybe, you know what I mean? You miss it. Y'all all, you know, either you crying, your mom crying, whatever the fuck. Right. But y'all both about to part for like 2 weeks.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so like,
going up there and experience some better life.
Yeah. You do you. I'm about to do me. Whatever. But and then I also remember the cool thing was when I would come back, you know, the fly shit was come back to the crib, my whole bedroom would be different. Like, you get a new bed linen or whatever the cool linen. I remember like 1 year it was like Smurfs and shit like that. You come
damn,
back.
Damn, why you gonna say Smurfs though, man?
Oh, you had Smurf linen?
Hey, man, the when you said go away and come back, the only time that ever happened to me, we went away. We used to go to Cleveland in the summer. So we go to Cleveland the whole summer, come back. And that one time we came back, my pops had flipped the whole bedroom with a whole new bedroom set. And that shit had the Smurf fucking covers and his girlfriend. And his girlfriend... She made the curtains because I guess they didn't have the curtains. So she made the curtains out of some sheets and shit, made the Smurf curtains and shit. So we had the curtains and the fucking, and the shit. You know what I'm saying? It was real kind of emotional because, you know, my dad was a player, like a single dude all his,
right.
After him and my mom broke up when I was like maybe seven, he was like a player, but this was the one girlfriend that was engaged with us, and she taught us how to make the bed up in the way because he had got these custom beds. So she was like, you got to make it up like this and you fold it here and that. And it was like, damn, nobody actually ever showed me how to make up the bed a real way, you know what I'm saying? All they do is they tell you to make up the bed, so you just go in there and do what you think you're supposed to do, you know what I'm saying? You straighten out the sheets, but here goes actually the process. Like, here's where you fold it. This where you put the pillow. Then you fold that on top of the pillow. So it was a very emotional fucking point. I actually got a picture of that shit of when we came back and the Smurf shit was there. And
man.
But that was the one who I said ended up when we was talking about Snowfall and Mel on Snowfall getting on crack. That was the girlfriend that ended up getting on crack. So it makes it even more sad.
Yeah, that's the worst. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, man, that shit used to be something. Bed linen as a kid, like the little shit. That shit made you feel rich. Nigga, what? The whole Smurf shit? I was killing these niggas. Oh, shit. No, the name of the machine, and I'm pretty sure it's the same thing, it's called a Rube Goldberg machine.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think that's the name of the machine I'm talking about. But yeah, there used to be a big one in there. And, you know. So I remember, it's funny, man. I do remember when Port Authority wasn't sad. Well, the Port Authority has some prestige on a certain level. You know what I mean? Like, It was the Port Authority. Like, it was where you came into this motherfucker at. Like, when you come in from out of town, like, you come into New York City more often than not through the Port Authority. Right. You know, I guess if you're coming in on a bus.
If you're coming on a bus, if you're a runaway, looking for a pimp.
Right. You coming through modest means of transportation. You're going to come through.
Meagerly exactly, coming through. Exactly.
It's the Ellis Island of the poor. You're like, fucked up out here. Like,
Authority been fucked up.
Shit, this is gonna be a bad occurrence. This nigga did not come through LaGuardia.
Oh man.
Shit, man. Yeah, man. But so there that go. Shout out to Port Authority's on there.
Port Authority on there.
Let me think of some places. I don't like the East Side, 125th Street, like past Lexington Avenue, right over there by Lexington Avenue, like 3rd Avenue.
That's where they do the K2, ain't it?
Yeah, that's just like that shit is like fucking, oh man, it's like the fucking Night of the Living Dead over there, dog. It's a lot of like just zombie action going on over there. That shit ain't cool.
It's something that most people wouldn't put on this particular list, but yeah. I'm gonna put Park Slope on there for myself.
Ooh, talk to me.
Because, you know, Park Slope is one of them places that used to be the hood a long time ago. It's actually where Foxy Brown is from. But by the time I got here in the late 90s, 99, it wasn't that. It was totally, you know what I'm saying, a very aspiring type of neighborhood. Because it's beautiful homes, like beautiful brownstones and shit like that. And the rich were moving in faster and faster.
Right.
And my children went to preschool over there. You know what I'm saying? So, because, you know, it's deemed to be a nice place, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the personality of that neighborhood is so, it's such that the people that came in, you know what I'm saying? They're like the first wave of, we're creating this new place out of this old place and we're rich and we got the money and we want things the way we want it. It became like a symbol of entitlement. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like anytime you hear about Brooklyn people complaining about, you know, grilling in the park, it's people from Park Slope. You know what I'm saying? Right. Why won't they let us, you know what I'm saying, have the fucking baby strollers in the bar? People from Park Slope. You know what I'm saying?
Go to the bar.
Yeah, go in the bar and there are babies in the fucking bar and a whole fucking kiddie section where the kids are playing in the bar. Like,
and Park dogs. Slope.
And dogs. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Park Slope is just like entitlement central. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, this is terrible. This place is wild.
The worst type of entitlement, and I don't know if it's just part of the entitlement persona, but it's the worst part of the entitlement is where they don't even realize it's entitlement. Right. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, I don't understand why I can't have a pit bull in this Italian restaurant. I mean, this is Henry. What are you talking about? This is my guy. Right. And this is like, dog, it's a fucking pit bull, dog. This is a fucking restaurant for people.
He doesn't bite. Henry is actually much cooler than those guys you have working in the back, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. This is a pure breed pit bull. This guy here.
He's not just a dog. He's our dog. He's our Henry.
He's part of my family.
No doubt.
And they'll say that shit. They'll say that shit with the most conviction in the world to where you got to look twice at the dog to see if they related or not. The motherfucker will be like, he is one of us. He's like, what are you talking about?
And on top of all of that, and the pride that they have, it just has it has no flavor, like no life, no culture. You know what I'm saying? It's just devoid of culture. To me, it's just like the symbol of we got it, but we got no flavor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's not cool at all.
To get it all and lose your soul.
Right. When we're not talking about South Slope and, you know what I'm saying, the fringes, I'm talking about proper, you know what I mean, right there. Old Park Slope. And it's not easy to get to. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's one of them things, like, if you're coming from certain places, it's a hassle to get over there. You know what I mean? Like, by like, train. Like, you're in Bed-Stuy to get to Park Slope, it's a hassle. You either got to catch a bus and a train or a train and a shuttle train. And, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's all by design, too. Shit, man. Trying to think of some other place. That's interesting culturally, because there are certain neighborhoods that make you feel a certain type of way where you like you could kind of even you could get not defensive, but you could be on guard because you're ready for the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, ah, shit, here we go. I'm trying to think. That's a good question. I don't know. I got to think about that one. Park Slope. You don't watch The Chi, right?
I haven't yet.
Okay. You don't watch I May Destroy You, right?
Nigga. My wife started the shit without me. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I guess she felt like I was moving too slow, and then I walked in and I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm gonna sit down and watch this shit with you. You know what I'm saying? You done started this shit without me. What episode we on? We on episode 4. All right, so I know where I need to go back to. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I sit down. I'm watching the shit. It's cool. Right. You know what I'm saying? Whoop, 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 bing, bing. You know, British accent. You know what I'm saying? British cool, whatever. And then niggas start talking about a gay orgy. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting for TV. Like, really? That's what we gonna do? Right. Because not that it can't happen, it's just it don't happen. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then the motherfuckers go and they get up in the room and you know what I'm saying? And they start really fucking and shit. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, hold up, dog. Hold up. I wasn't ready. You know what I'm saying? Wait a minute. What are we watching? You know what I mean? And so, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, I told my wife, I'm like, yo, this is revolutionary. She was like, revolutionary? Right. It's not revolutionary. I'm like, revolutionary in the way that this don't happen on TV. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is like some, this is, wow.
It's groundbreaking. Right.
Right. Yeah. I had to, and then I had to pause. I was like, okay, let me step away. I probably need to start from the beginning so I could get the personality of this show.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And it's not to say because, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I just had to take my time and get back into it. Same shit happened on Snowfall. I was telling somebody this earlier. The same shit happened on Snowfall. The first episode I walked in on Snowfall, I didn't even know Snowfall existed. I'm in Miami at my cousin's house. She watching the show. She was like, oh, this is good shit right here. We need to watch this Snowfall. I'm like, okay. We watching the shit. And then it's the episode when then, you know, Franklin got his money robbed and he trying to get the money back, and then he go hire a nigga to get the money back, and then the nigga take matters in his own hand, and then he end up raping the dude. So I'm like, damn, like, I am introduced in a homoerotic gay scene again. Not, you know what I'm saying? Well, homoerotic rape scene, rather. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm like, shit, I had to take a break. I'm like, man, this is a bit much. I didn't, you know what I'm saying? They didn't even show that. Like, that, you didn't even see it. You just had to perceive what happened.
Theater of the mind.
Yeah. So when you had to watch it, I was like, yo, this is fucking crazy. Now, but I will say this, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I get why she, I don't know why she did it. I think I get it.
What she did.
My takeaway was it's showing you as a man, you know what I'm saying, what that process feels like. You know what I'm saying? Like, what if that was you? Well, it wouldn't be me in that situation, but still, you know what I'm saying? I get the point of, you know what I'm saying? Damn, this nigga just took it.
It put you in that position. Yeah.
Right. He couldn't do nothing. You know what I'm saying? The dude was bigger and stronger. Yeah, he just took it.
Yeah.
It's like, shit. You know what I'm saying? Makes you think about sexual assault in a whole different way. And I appreciated it, but I still had to get up and, you know what I'm saying, reset myself so I could watch this shit from the beginning and understand what the fuck is going on. And I could skip that scene next time.
Hilarious. Yeah, that shit, they go there on the show, you know. But it's a hell of a show, man. It's a hell of a show. I ain't gonna lie, like, yeah, it's crazy. It's a wild show. Like I said before, like, this is shit that you still haven't seen. It just goes to show, like, how many stories have yet to be told. You know what I mean? Like, just
right,
and just even the perspective. You know what I'm saying? Like, this, it feels different than many other shows that I've seen. You know what I'm saying? Like, just the perspective. And I was saying before, like, just even, like, the stuff that the characters do, I guess even particularly, like, how you may have never seen black women before on television. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, hedonistic, or, like, maybe wild, some debauchery shit, like, just, like, free to do whatever they want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, doing shit that you like, oh, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, maybe it's because I'm getting old, but I'm like, oh, shit, that wasn't smart. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think as you get older, you forget. And it's not even the, I don't know, the ignorance of youth, or the, like, just the feeling of invincibility, or the feeling of just going with the flow, shit like that. Like, you know, like, I think as you get older, sometimes you could get a little bit more anxious and nervous about various moves that you may not have even given any type of thought. You might have been mm-hmm. like, man, I'm not going to let nothing get in the way of a great night. You know what I'm saying? I don't know this person, but fuck it, we're going to go. We're going to just wild out. Whereas you get older, you're like, man, I'm not doing that shit. Fuck that. You know what I mean? Never. You know what I mean? But so it's a lot of that type of shit. Just the storytelling element is interesting. I guess even like the British element is foreign to me. And typically, I've said that before, typically I'm not even always into them. Into these type of shows, but this shit, like, I'm with it. I'm like, all right, this is a whole nother lifestyle. Like, the whole shit is just, I feel like this is brand new. I'm watching the whole shit, like, okay, this is crazy. I'm like pulled in. Then I read the story about her. They did there was an interview with her in Vulture this week, and like, I remember when Chewing Gum came out, I tried to watch. I wasn't really, it didn't really get me, right? I didn't give it that much, you know. Again, like, I think it kind of, I just didn't connect with it. So I kind of didn't go past maybe two episodes or whatever. But I would see her and hear her name and shit like that. And so I'm hearing the story, and I know that this, you know, I know that the story's about sexual assault, but I didn't realize until I read the interview that the story is about her sexual assault. Right. And it was when she was in the midst of writing the second season of Chewing Gum that this shit happened.
Right.
And then her next show is about that. Like, that, wow. That's crazy. Like, that's...
Nah, no doubt. And I've read that before I seen the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I knew that part. You know what I mean? I knew what she went through. And that she,
I didn't even know what the show was about at first. I just, you know, I like to go into all this shit blind. I was like, all right, it's some black people shit. Let me see what it is. Some different black. It looks interesting. Let me see what it is. But go ahead. I cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that was it.
Yes. Yeah, so I didn't even know what it was about initially until, like, okay, when I'm watching, I said, oh, wow, okay, I see what this is about. But then when I read the story and I realized this wasn't even, like, fictionalized, this is based on her, you know, loosely based on, you know, somewhat based on her life. Like, she's drawn from some shit that happened not too long ago. Like, wow, that's crazy. Right. But
you know, yeah. So you know, man, and then, you know, the stories that came out today about her, you know, retaining the creative control and ownership in the story. That's even makes it even better. Because now she's able to tell her story and own it, and, you know what I'm saying, retain the rights right. to it. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And I even liked the part where she was like, at that point in the story when they were talking about, she was asking for like 5%, and she kept asking till it was like 0.5%. And still they were like, nah. I just respect the fact that you like, man, fuck this shit. Well, what about 0.5%? Like, you know, because sometimes if you ever get an opportunity to create some shit, I think so many people, especially people that don't see themselves a lot on television, might defer to people that have done television before or, mm-hmm. you know, might not be bold enough to ask for everything they want. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Or to say, yo, nah, it's got to be like this. Or no.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
because most people just want a chance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, most people just want a chance. Yeah.
And to be quite frank, you know what I mean? One, you just want a chance to get in. But as a Hollywood person and you're financing this thing and the you know what I'm saying? And this is not to speak for the man, you know what I mean? But this is where they be coming from. We're going to pay for this thing. We're going to put it in our fucking unit. And, you know, you're cool. You got one show off. You know what I'm saying? That was moderately successful. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But we want to do this show. And if it becomes a hit, we don't want to have to be coming back to you, asking you every time we want to do something with this show. You know, can we do this? You know what I'm saying? And that's what happens a lot of times when somebody retains ownership in something.
Right.
And then the big machine is like, hey, we want to do this 20th anniversary blase skip. And that motherfucker like, man, fuck y'all. No, we ain't doing shit. You know what I'm saying? Then it can't be done. Mm-hmm. So the money you invested in, it just becomes, you know, that one-off thing. And now this person runs off into the sunset with it and does as they please. And as a content creator, yeah, fuck yeah, we gonna do as we please. You know what I'm saying? You're not gonna just do it how you wanna do it. As a studio, you're like, well shit, if we gonna invest in things, we need to invest in things that we can exploit to the end of motherfucking time in perpetuity, as they will say.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is wild. I understand it. I dig it. I understand why. I mean, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to get all of the, you know, wring it all away, get all of the juice out the shit? But, nah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Because I, you know, like, that's, you know, like, nah, we should be able to sit back at the table. It's almost kind of like football. Let's get a few downs and then, you know, first down. All right, now we set shit back up again. You know what I mean? As opposed to, because it's really now you're leveraging, it's or leveraging or gambling, whatever way you want to look at it, money and vision. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But it's position with this, it's position initially, the introduction is this one-off deal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that's what started the conversation. This is what spawned the conversation. I'm investing in this one-off idea or this idea, this one-off execution of this idea. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we hope off of this idea, I make my money back twofold, threefold, even more. That's even great. But hopefully I make my money back. Hopefully it's a success. And that should actually bookend the deal. You know what I mean? To be honest. But if you got the vision and or you somebody that's gained vision by funding other situations and then when the shit hit, realize, oh, I can't get no more. I can't draw no more for that because I didn't articulate that up front. So now you articulate that up front. Now, I can't be mad at you for doing that, but at the same time, shit, if you see that much value in it, let me safeguard myself. You know what I'm saying? And it shouldn't be. It could be maybe viewed as aggressive, but it shouldn't be offensive to anybody that wants to do a deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, why my vision got to be more aggressive than your vision? You know what I'm saying? Like, right. You know, why I got, or why is the fact that I have vision like you got vision or that I have value in what I'm going to create, like you seemingly value what I'm about to create, why is that shit when I say it or when I do it, it's almost like it's a turnoff or it's being difficult or it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, because yeah, that's the type of shit you'll hear.
Yeah, because everybody want what they want. You know what I'm saying? Right. Nobody want to give. Nobody want to feel like they lost. Nobody want to go back to their boss like, yeah, you know, he don't want to do it unless he owns it. Like, well, fuck that then. Let him pay for it if he wants to own it. You know, right. Nobody wants to go have that conversation. But sometimes you got to be able to put yourself in a position to be able to say that's the situation you got to go have. That's the conversation you need to go have. Because other than that, we don't take this shit down the street or take this shit over here. And that's what everybody doing. With all these platforms opening up, it's becoming space for it. You know what I mean?
Right. Speaking of that, but have you... Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that, you know what I'm saying, Netflix offered her the money up front, but then they didn't want to give her the, you know, the ownership. So that's how it ended up at HBO.
Right. I was going to say, have you ever watched Quibi?
I signed up for it, but I never really watched it. I mean, I don't know if I'm really into that concept.
Right. I saw there was an article about how, you know, they put so much money into it, mm-hmm. but it seems like nobody's watching it. And it's like the round of, I guess it was like a free trial period. It's about to be over. Mm-hmm. So now they're kind of going to really see who's going to be, you know, who's going to retain, who's going to kind of stick around or whatever. I remember.
They nervous. They don't think it's going to work. A lot of people don't think it's going to work.
Yeah. And it's funny because I remember talking about it and, you know, meeting with people that sold shit and like, yo, they buying, they doing this, da-da-da-da-da, mm-hmm. like whatever. And I kind of remember being like kind of excited based off of some of those conversations that I had. Mm-hmm. To kind of see how some of this shit comes to fruition. Mm-hmm. And I remember maybe seeing a little bit of advertisement here and there, but like maybe not a whole lot. And I wasn't as turned off as most people, because a lot of people are like, man, I don't understand. Why would you spend all this TV money and then only go 10 minutes? Like, that shit don't make no sense. I was more like, yo, I'm kind of curious to see how they execute that. That shit could be ill. Let's see what it is. But so, I guess maybe I just didn't follow up or look into it. Like, I didn't feel like there was ever like a point of engagement. Like, certain shit, you can't get around it. When it's popping, it's everywhere. And for them to spend as much money as it is, I didn't feel like it was ever, like, when I go on Apple TV, like, I don't see in the App Store a Quibi app, like, yo, download this, or I don't know if it's only on your laptop or whatever, but, like, I just feel like...
No, it's only on your phone. See, that's the thing.
Oh!
It's mobile. It's a mobile app. And short form, and they were banking on. See, now, if COVID didn't happen, they probably would have been straight, because everybody would have still been busy, still commuting, and, you know what I'm saying, having those little 10 minutes and 15 minutes to do shit like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think now, you know, you're looking at your TV more than your phone. You know what I mean? I mean, you're looking at your phone, but, you know what I'm saying, it's like, shit, what can I watch on the TV? I got all this time. Right. I don't, you know, 10 minutes, what the fuck that's going to do for all this time I got? Right. Now, so I think the switch in strategy should have been, instead of locking it down and sticking to your gun so hard, I'm thinking that you should probably have taken your best content and just gave it away and let people see it. You know what I'm saying? Just free that shit in the world. Like, boom, put that shit on YouTube or whatever the fuck. Like, yo, this the new show. If you want to see the rest of this shit, go on over to Quibi. Or just like how Money and Violence did, they like in the end when they was like, you know what I'm saying, you could watch this season, but you want to see the finale, nigga, you need to go pay. You know what I'm saying? So to get people into what it is, like you said, you could have dope shit over there, but nobody knows, because ain't nobody trying to go in there and see it, because it's like, shit, nigga, Apple TV done gave me a free year. You know what I'm saying? To watch on my TV. Hulu got they shit. Netflix got they shit. My TV is cracking. You know what I'm saying? I'm barely checking my, only reason I'm on the phone is for Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Everything else, I'm on the computer or the TV right now.
Right.
So I think you would have to free it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Take it off of just mobile, make it a site. You know what I'm saying? Well, at least you could just watch it on your computer if you want.
Yeah, that's probably, that's definitely why I haven't seen it then. Yeah. Interesting. Oh, man. What else is good? Anything else you want to chop it up with before we, you know what I mean?
You watch Homecoming?
No. I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about it since back when Julia Roberts was on it.
And mm-hmm. I seen it was good. Janelle the first Monáe. Season was good. The first season was really good. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I never got. What is that shit on Amazon Prime, right?
Yes, on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I got to check it out. Is it good? Is you like it? You like this new one too?
Mm-mm.
Okay, damn. Shit. Oh, damn. All right, well, you know, fuck.
The first season was, I liked it. I got into it. I was like, okay, it's quick. You know what I'm saying? They like quick 17-minute pops, you know what I'm saying? 20 minutes, I guess. Right. You know what I'm saying? Very interesting, you know what I'm saying, how they put it together. This season, they just wasted a lot of fucking time getting to the point, you know what I'm saying? It was like, you know, they did this whole thing of setting something up that all took place in one episode, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, oh, shit, man. Y'all could have been playing this shit out a lot longer other than trying to do all these, you know, slow these long-ass scenes for no reason, you know what I'm saying? Mm. It's like they just...
So it all summed up in that one episode.
Yeah, it all summed up in one episode. The end last episode was the summation. And be like, oh, man, y'all, man, that's some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? It was no real lead up, no real. The first four episodes, you trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. The next, you know what I'm saying, couple episodes, you know what I'm saying? All right, you know what's going on. And now you're leading up to something, but we don't know what. Then the last episode is the what, and it's over.
Damn, that shit sound like it got you fucked up. Oh yeah. Man, nah,
yeah, I was kind of upset about it, but you know, it was cool. I had just finished watching The Thrones all the way through again, so I had came off a very dense show to this. You know, what I'm saying, a whole lot of time wasting.
Now, how was it watching it the second time where, like, you ain't have no real expectations for the ending? Did it feel any different?
Definitely felt a lot different. The ending, you had a little more understanding for because they teased it a little bit, but it was so far in the future that you couldn't really, really get the feel for what they were teasing. Now, they still executed the last season in a very, you know, rushed manner. So that was that. You know what I'm saying? I actually skipped a lot of the episodes in the last season. But, you know, you already know that's the case. So you just enjoy it for what it is that you got to enjoy it for. And now I'm good. I'm like, shit, I felt good watching it again, and I'm good. I don't have to watch it again. You know what I mean? Maybe some other time I may feel like it, but I'm good. Like, okay, that was some quality entertainment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What else you got on the watch list? What's some new shit? What's some shit you thinking about getting into?
I'm gonna watch the I May Destroy Your Life. I haven't gotten into that. I got to catch up on The Chi. That's it thus far. I mean, I don't have nothing else on cue. I ain't really think about it like that.
Right. I've been trying. I started Ozark again. Mm-hmm. And I fell asleep on the same episode that I fell asleep on four times before. I just think that shit got my number. I'm going to try it again, like, early in the day.
Which some episode shit, is that? Like,
maybe episode two? Something real early.
Of the first season?
Yeah, of the first season. It kind of just take me out. I don't know. Maybe, you know what it is? I'm not all the way blaming the show because up until this particular part, I'm in. But And maybe it's because I watched the shit late, and maybe now I've conditioned myself like to tune out around this certain time. It was whatever, but it, I don't know if you've ever had that before. If you're trying to get into a show and you kind of tap out or fall asleep, particularly fall asleep at the same spot each time. Have you ever had that before? Or is that just me? All right. Well, that's
one of your things.
That's my shit. All right, bet. I was thinking about that, and I've been another one I've tried to get into, but I'm going to try again because of the people involved. I want to try to get into Black Monday. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I fuck with Regina Hall, fuck with Don Cheadle, Yasser Lester, good people. You know, people that I fuck with, and I like their work, and I've heard good things. So I'm like, all right, let me try this shit again. It ain't grab me, but that's what I got on deck. Anyway. Oh man, yeah man. Well, this is it. This was the conversation.
Indeed.
Indeed, man. How you feel? You want to say anything else to the people before
That's it, man. I'm good, man. Shit, you know, I thank y'all for giving me the platform to speak my mind, especially today, cause shit, you know what I'm saying, it was a blasé day until I came in here with y'all,
man. Yeah, check in on him, man. Check in on me, too. Because I might be fucked up right now, too. But check in on your people. See how they doing. Anything, you got anything before between now and next week? I know where you're going to be, but...
I'm going to be on the gram at Mr. Muhammad on Twitter, at Mr. Muhammad. Shit, I have no plans to be nowhere until September.
There you go. I'll be doing the same thing, social distancing at D-Lemon Comedy on every platform. But until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in a conversation. We're out.
Jason.